excited because I have Raylan joining me.
Raylan, you? We're both quarantined to our homes right now.
What is happening in the world right now?
I think either the rapture's coming soon or I don't know. The Lord just wants us to all have some time with our families. That's the only thing I can think of right now because it's pretty crazy.
You are so devoted to God, which is one of my favorite things about you. How do you find the silver lining in situations like this? Like what it, because there's usually God does things for a reason, right? Mm-hmm.
The silver lining that I find in this whole situation is that everything does happen for a reason. And even though there's a lot of unknowns, I feel like there's a lot of unknowns in life in general. Like, you know, why do people die of cancer? Why do people get diagnosed with certain diseases? Why do people, you know, lose their houses in a tornado? All those different things. But I genuinely believe that everything happens for a reason and God can turn around anything. And so you have to have that faith in life. If I didn't have that faith in general, I don't know if I could even get out of the bed, get out of bed, because it's like you have to realize that you're living for something bigger than yourself and that there's someone out there that really is looking out for you other than your family. And so, I mean, I just, through this time, I just realized like this is something that is so uncontrollable. Like it is affecting everybody. It is not just affecting the person that is like down the road that we don't know that, you know, doesn't have a cool house as one of us. Like it's literally affecting celebrities. It's affecting, it just goes to show that life is so precious and it doesn't matter who you are. It's affecting you. So that's one thing that I see.
It's kind of like leveling the playing field in a
way to
humanity. Hold on really fast. Hey babe, will you shut our bedroom door? My love. Thank you, honey. Sorry, just getting Michael to shut the bedroom door.
Oh, you're fine. So, you know, I really do believe that, though. It's like, it goes to show that we're all human and we're all, like, and I think the cool thing, too, about this whole situation is I feel like these last couple years, everything's been really divided and, like, really, like, just between, like, politics and religion and all this, and really nobody cares about that right now. Everybody's just like, let's get through this. Let's get through this coronavirus. Let's all work together. And to me, like, that's what it's all about. Like, and I think that's the coolest part about seeing it.
I think so too. Hold on. Michael didn't hear me. Just a second. I got to shut this door because it's loud.
You're fine.
Hey, babe. Okay.
I'm back. No, Raylan, I agree 100% too. I think that the world is divided and stuff like this kind of like pops up and it's like, okay, let's really get to what matters. Like what really matters in our life. It's that we work together, that we take care of each other, that we support each other. And these kind of situations show you that.
Mm-hmm. And it just, I mean, but it's scary. It's eerie. Like
it's very scary. It's very end of world time.
It's very end of world type of feeling, but I don't know. I mean, and especially for me, I have type 1 diabetes, like an autoimmune disease. And like if you have that or lung disease or heart disease, like you're at risk. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like it's a time to realize that life is super vulnerable and like precious and we all need to be there for each other. And it's awesome. Cause like, you know, my husband has been gone for a while and now he's home and I don't know. I'm just kind of like really trusting God. Because he's not working and I'm not working, obviously. But
I know it's scary. Like it's shows
so
are
scary.
There's no shows that are
no. There's no shows. There's like
Michael's all my shows all been, just got canceled.
Everything, but it's affecting everybody. But then I think about, oh my gosh, like a year ago, I was just wishing to have time at home and being with my husband and my two dogs. Like literally, I was like, God, I just want that. You know, of course I don't want it like this, but
we never how we want it. Exactly.
No, we don't. And so I think it's just about looking at the silver lining of it. And I do believe that we're going to be able to come up with ways to take care of the people that are living paycheck to paycheck and need help. And so I hope that we can figure that out soon.
So what is your practice with God? Say like in a situation where it's completely out of your control, like what we're living in now, what do you do to get centered with God? Like what are some techniques, like people who are listening to this who have faith, but maybe they're really doubting their faith right now, or they're not knowing how to lean into it or find peace. Like, what are some things that you do?
I stay in constant communication with God. So I used to like wake up in the morning and have my little Jesus time or at night by myself, but I've really started to realize that God is always there. And so instead of me just like saying, oh, I'm going to spend 30 minutes with Jesus this morning and 30 minutes with him at this time or whatever, I just kind of like talk to him throughout the day. Like when I'm cleaning, I know it might sound crazy, and if you see me talking to myself, it's probably because I'm talking to the Lord. But I just like, I thank him for things. And it's like, I, you know, if I'm really stressed out about something and I'm on my way to like a write or like a meeting, I'm just like, Jesus, please handle this. Please do this. Like, I think it's not about like, God doesn't deserve, in the way that I view it, Jesus is not like, he's a part of your day and like a certain time. Of course, you should have time where you read your Bible and you can focus on like your spirituality. But for me, I want to have constant communication with him and talk to him throughout the day, because I get stressed throughout the day. Like there's so many things. Like 2 days ago, I woke up with the most serious anxiety about this whole thing, because I realized that in China, like most diabetics that were diagnosed with coronavirus had passed away. So I was like, oh my God, I have type 1 diabetes and I don't like this. But then I realized, you know, you can't live in fear. I'm a very healthy being. I take care of myself, like, and I know that I'm going to be okay, you know, and you can't live like that. So for me, and it's just about keeping a community of people around you that are positive and that live that way. I have incredible friends and I have incredible mentors in my life. I always want to learn from women that are older than me, that are just like really steadfast in their faith, that can teach me, because I have so much to learn. And I think when you're always willing to learn, there's something about that, especially when it comes to your faith. Like, I have so many friends that have gone through really big trials and tribulations, but with God, they've like, I mean, you can't just deny like somebody's story and somebody's path. Like,
right.
You hear somebody's testimony, you're like, oh my gosh, there has to be a God for them to, you know, overcome this or overcome that. And, I don't know. It's been really cool though, to see the people that God's put in my life to be that for me. And Josh,
I always wonder, how do you know when you're on the right road? So you're saying like you're talking to God in constant communication. Mm-hmm. I do that too. I feel like I have just like a constant prayer with God, like, and I'm really trying to listen to hear God in a way of how I feel, like with resistance, mm-hmm. or non-resistance. Like if I am doing something and I get a feeling that it feels gross and bad and like wrong, like not like wrong, like that's bad, but just wrong, yeah. for me, I am trying to take that cue as God is telling me to pivot in a different direction. Like, mm-hmm. that's how I'm. And then like, if things are just sort of flowing and like you and I were talking, we're, mm-hmm. in the middle of Corona and like we're moving and building a house. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's stressful. You know,
so
and
this
situation, like you have all these plans and then all of a sudden plans completely change. And I'm like, God, is this still what we're supposed to be doing right now? Is this like the right? And like, I'm just like following it until I hit a big feeling or like a big roadblock. Like, how do you know when God is leading you correct in the way that you're supposed to be going?
I feel like you get serious discernment. If something is right or wrong, like that feeling.
Serious, what is it?
Discernment.
Discernment?
Like, yeah, like you, just like you said, you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach, right? Like, you, yes. know, oh, this is the right thing. Oh, this is not. And that is just something I would continue to pray for. Like when I am super, one thing that I've always prayed is like for instance, we just put an offer in on a house and I said, God, if this is what you want, make it happen. If it's not, don't even let it happen.
Yes.
And it didn't happen. And I was so bummed. And I was like, God, I really wanted it. Jesus, like, it was so close to the airport. It was so close to my friends. Like, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, but wait, you can't pray that God, you can't tell God, if it's not your will, don't do it. And then when he doesn't do it, start fighting with him, you know?
He's doing it for your best interest.
He's doing it for your best interest. And then 2 days later, you know, God puts, like, an amazing opportunity on our lap that's extremely, like, way lower than we ever experienced. Like, he always does it better than you can ever imagine. And like, but you were saying earlier, like, how do you know if it's the right thing? Sometimes you just have to go through those doors and figure it out. That's one thing that I've learned is, like, all you can do is the best you can do. And if it's not the right step, like, if you made a wrong step, like, you just correct it and keep on going. You can't, like, doubt everything that you've done. I mean, I went through a serious period where I was doubting some moves I made in my career and, like, I should have went with that label, or I should have went with this label, or I should have done, put out that song, or I should have put this song. And I'm like, no, because if I would have done anything different, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. And the person that I am right now is better than the person that I was 2 years ago. Aww. And it just, because it's all those things build your character and build the person that you are, any like thing that you go through. And I don't know, but and another thing too is I am the kind of person that I'm like, oh my God, I love everybody. This person's never going to hurt me. This is going to be great. And having a husband that's more like level, he's like, maybe you should like you can be the person that gets excited, but I'm going to be the more level. Like it's super important to like lean on your significant other, because there's things that for instance, people, discernment about people, I'm not great with, like,
because you love everybody.
I love everybody, but Josh is super good with it, you know, but it's good for him because like, I do love everybody and he probably needs a little more of that, you know, like being more trusting, you know? So I feel like God puts the right, of course, like your husband or your wife, like whoever that is, like the Lord puts that person in your life for a reason to help you kind of with the things that you're not that great at.
I love y'all's story. Because y'all met when you were in high school?
No, I was, well, technically, I guess I was like out of high school. I was 18 and he was 21.
Where'd y'all meet?
So we met at church.
Okay, great place to meet.
I know, it's a good place to meet. It wasn't a bar like every other country song. I'm going to drink my coffee.
I know Michael and I met at a bar and made out the same night.
Hey, that's okay. But me and Josh met at a church, and then I slid into his DMs, classic.
Oh, okay, okay.
And
okay.
And then
what'd you say? Like, what'd you say? Did you really like that verse?
No, I said something like, because he was like friends of people that I was friends with, and I said, "How have I never met you before?" Or something like that. Classic me. Uh-huh. And then we went to the same wedding a couple weeks later, and then he got my number.
And then that was it. But then y'all broke up for a minute.
Yeah, we broke up for a couple years.
So did me and Michael.
I know. We talked about this. And then right when we got back together, we knew it. Like,
how did you know it? And how did y'all
get just knew it. Right, I remember when like we were talking on the phone. First of all, I've never been so nervous / excited than when like, first of all, I had his name on my phone as do not answer, do not call, like all those things. Cause I was like the psycho girl that would call him like, you know, all the time, be like, oh my God, please, please. Like, you know, so I had like, and so in his ringtone, like, do not answer, do not call. Like I was, so
you were
like,
doing some work to avoid him.
Oh, heck yeah. Way doing work. And the funny thing is it was all in my head. Like he's just like living life. I feel like dudes are like so much chiller about this than girls that we were like, oh my God. And like, he was like so chill about it. But yeah, I answered it and we just kind of like caught up, I guess. And, from that phone call on, like we just kept in touch and he came to see me cause he was living in Georgia at the time.
Cause he's in the service, right?
Yeah. He's in the service. He joined the military. He played baseball for a while with the Cubs. And then, he joined the military a couple years later. So,
okay.
So yeah.
So does he still have to, is he still, doing his time? I don't know exactly.
Yes. He's still under contract and he's doing trainings back and forth, but since the corona, he's stuck here with me and my beanie. So
you're cute, lucky beanie. Him.
I know. Thank you.
I love it. What have y'all learned about each other now that y'all been quarantined together? Anything new?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I'm trying to like, I think that we still love each other. That's a good one.
What's like, a good tip for marriage?
He's still laughing at my jokes, obviously. Huh?
That's important. Your husband didn't think you're funny, that would be a tragedy.
I genuinely think that my husband's the funniest person in the world.
You think he is?
Oh my God, he's so funny. And it's so cool, like when you've been married for a while, you just know like your significant other's just sense of humor. So like, and it's kind of weird. It's like a code language. Like when you're around another couple, you don't realize how weird you are until you like are laughing at your own jokes and you're like, oh shit, like they don't get what we're laughing at, and that's okay.
What are some tips for marriage, especially being young and semi newlyweds? I mean, y'all been married a few years now, but what are some things that have really helped you in your marriage that y'all have done?
I think recently doing, I've been going to counseling, which has been awesome, and working on myself to be better for him rather than making, like, I think one of the biggest things that I've learned is I can't expect him to change. I got to change. And then, like, that is going to, like, affect the whole relationship. Does that make sense?
That, like, makes a lot of sense.
There's, I think it's a lot of times, like, each person will bring their own crap into a marriage and they don't work on themselves, you know?
Yeah.
We all go through stuff. But if you really work on, like, the things that, you know, made you the person that you are, that you probably, like, could have kind of done without. Like, for instance, like, my parents were divorced growing up, and I grew up with two sets of, like, going to, you know, two different Thanksgivings and two different Christmases and every other weekend, which that was my life. Well, Josh didn't grow up like that. So, you know, he grew up with his parents. I mean, his parents have been married for over 40 years. And so he wasn't used to things like that. So it's like, but that's not his fault, and it's not my fault that I grew up the way that I grew up. But there's some things that are different because our lifestyles that we grew up with were different. So I think one thing that I've learned is, like, I'm always trying to work on myself, because when I work on myself, it helps our relationship, and communication is super big. Like,
yes,
I'm trying to learn about not being like a 12-year-old all the time, because, like, I yeah. get upset, and I'm like, I want to go away, blah, blah, blah. But, like, no, like, let's just talk it out. Let's be two grown-ups that are married and, like, are doing life together, and let's just get through this. And that's been – that's taken me a couple years to figure out. I'm not going to lie. Like, I
– Don't worry. You're not alone. Like, sometimes I react too. Like, I, like, try to be all zen and, like, stay centered and find the meaning of everything and, like, stay connected. But, like, sometimes when it's your spouse – because the thing is with your spouse – they directly affect everything you do. Like, when you are married, they get to have a say in your life because you are a partnership, just like you have a say in their life. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, well, I just want to do it my way. Like, God, yeah. just let me be me. Like, back off. But it's like, no, you've got to figure out how to communicate. Know the person is coming at you with love, and they have a reason that's not ludicrous for why they're saying this. So you need to figure it out and meet in the middle and speak with respect and not throw fit. And I'm the same way. Sometimes I'm just like, but I don't want to.
And I think another thing too that I've learned is, like, the have you read the book Love and Respect?
You are the second. Marley Sherwood told me that yesterday. It's a marriage counseling book.
It is a marriage counseling book.
Who's it by? She didn't know who it was by.
Oh my God, I forgot what it was by.
This is the exact same. You're the second. Okay, this is a sign I'm getting.
This is a sign. But I think women, we just want, like, affection and love. And I heard it changes, though, when you, like, have kids and stuff. But genuinely, like, just showing respect for each other is, like, the biggest thing. You know?
Are you and Josh doing that book?
We need to do it. I read, like, the first couple chapters. I'm the worst reader in the world, you guys.
I know. Is it on audio?
I'm like, my thing, no, I just, like, I just hate reading. I do better with audiobooks. I do better with audiobooks.
That's,
like,
what I'm saying. Is it on audio?
I think it is on audio. Okay. But I mean, and my thing is, I'm so funny. Like, I feel bad, like, when I'm reading any book but the Bible, because I hate to read. So, like, if I'm reading another book, I'm like, no, I probably should be reading the Bible. And then I read the Bible, and then I get bored because of all the these and thous, and then I stop.
Really? The truth.
So then I just read my Jesus Calling and read the scriptures that they suggest.
I love you so much. I love you because you are just so bubbly and so real and so, and, like, you're so all about God and life and living it all, but you're just saying it how it is, which I appreciate. I want to ask you about your journey to music, because like, when you said you were struggling with anxiety a while back, like, did I choose the right record deal? Did I make the right choice? I mean, the fact that you had a choice to choose record deals, like, the fact that there were several record deals that wanted to sign you, because you came off hot off The Voice.
Yeah. So I grew up in Baytown, and Baytown, Texas, which is outside of Houston, for those of you who don't know. And I was going back and forth to LA, actually, like, doing auditions and stuff. I think I was, like, 17 at the time. And my mom and dad only allowed me to live out there for a year and really like devote for acting. And then as I was out there, I just started writing songs and really like kind of honing in on my craft with that. Cause I graduated early. That's why I was out there. I wasn't like going out there, not, you know, focused.
Were you living by yourself out there?
No, I had, my stepmom would come and stay with me, or my mom, or different people would come stay with me every month. They like loved it. They're like, LA for a month. It was awesome. But that being said, I came back home to Texas and I started writing, and then I would go back and forth to Nashville, and I got signed with ASCAP right when I moved to, well, I wasn't moved there yet, but going back and forth. And so then they set me up with a bunch of writes, Leanne Phelan at ASCAP. And one of those writes was with Nicole Gallion and Brad Tursey, which I think is hilarious, Sarah Buxton. Obviously, they put me with the best people.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know at the time. I'm just like, you know, 17, googly-eyed, like, what the hell's going on?
Brad Tursey's now in Old Dominion. Nicole Gallion, yes, just won Songwriter of the Year. I mean, Sarah Buxton's written tons of hits. She's amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing. But when I wrote with Nicole, she was like, have you thought about auditioning for The Voice? And I was like, nah, I don't really. Because I had auditioned for, like, American Idol, didn't make it. And I auditioned for X Factor, and I didn't make it. And so I was like, obviously, they don't like my voice. And she's like, well, The Voice is cool because they like unique voices, not just, like, you know, if you can sing like Mariah Carey, which I cannot sing like Mariah Carey. And so, anyways, I was like, no, but it's okay. Like, I'm just not really into that. I just want to do it the organic way, play at bars, you know, do like, you know, she's like, okay. She's like, well, I have an audition and I'll give it to you. And so I was like, what? No, don't do that. She goes, no, you do it. And so she gave me her audition, her private audition, Nicole did.
Are you serious?
And, no. And then she ended up getting another one. And so she auditioned too, but.
And she made it also.
Yeah, she did. We both did. And so I made it on, and, you know, of course, the rest was history. I was on Team Blake, and then I moved to Nashville after that. And I think a lot of, I don't know, I think there's, like, a misconception of, like, when you get on a show like that and a chair turns around for you, your world's going to change. And it does. It does. But there's a lot of hard work that goes after that. There's a lot of... It's not just like rainbows and fairies and, you know, you're going to sell out stadiums. Hell no. I mean,
what happens after?
Well, I mean, what happens after is you have to freaking put your boots on the ground and start working. And you can live off the success of your voice career for so long, but you don't want that to define you. And I realized that really quick. Like, you don't want to be known as the voice girl or something like that. Like, and that was a hard thing to kind of like branch out of, you know, of like, oh, she was on The Voice. I'm like, no, I am a real songwriter. No, I do have a unique voice. No, I like, and fighting through that was kind of hard, you know, that fog of like being a reality show singer, because that's a big thing. And I'm sure if you talk to anybody who's been on American Idol, X Factor, they'll tell you the same thing. It's kind of hard to like, be like, no, I'm the real deal. I'm an actual artist. And so, of course, I signed a big machine and all that. And everything, honestly, like, I just, when I look back about the amount of radio tours I went on and how hard I worked at 18 and 19 and 20, like, I mean, there was, when I was, during the push of God Made Girls, I did like 280 shows in 365 days. Like, most of those were radio shows. Yeah.
And God Made Girls, it was like, how far did that go up the charts?
I think it went top 15, if
love
I had to guess.
Love that song.
And, but I just, I look back and I think about I really do believe that, like, God was preparing me and giving me the toughest skin. Like, because I thought, I always had so much faith, oh, this song's going to be a hit. This song is going to be number one. And it actually was a hit. God Made Girls sold over a million copies. It was a hit.
That's a hit.
It is a hit. But, you know, I think the one thing that, like, you always kind of have in your head, this is how it's going to happen. This is who the people I'm going to have success with. You know, this is my path. But everything really does happen for a reason. So then I left my record deal. And
how did you deal with that? Like, upset. Leaving a deal, like, is that hard to do?
Oh my God, yes. Yes.
Is that emotional? Because you're like, okay, this is my shot and now it's ending? Or how do you feel?
It was the biggest faith step I've ever taken because I knew it was the right move, but I didn't want people to think that like I was like a washed up artist. Do you know what
totally,
I mean?
Totally, yes.
Like, oh, Raylan just lost her record. We know how it is in music row. Like, oh, did you know that person just lost their record deal? Oh, that's yes. Not, like, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't want to be that. But then I thought, as I was thinking that, those negative thoughts that I do believe come from the enemy, that's not, anything negative does not come from God. That's one thing that I've realized. Like, if it's a negative thought, it's not from God. Don't think that it is at all. And so I was like, would I rather be not doing the music that I want to do and be here, or would I rather be by myself putting out things that I'm proud of and just seeing what God does? And then that was an easy question for me to answer. And so I created the record I left. I created the record I wanted to create and pitched it to a few labels, and both labels wanted to be a part of it.
Like, wow.
Within, like, we had deals on the table within that day.
How amazing. And you did the work again. You made the music. You put yourself
out there. Put yourself out there. And it gave me confidence that, like, and I even said this in an interview when I put out Wild Horse, that, like, trust your gut. Trust that what you're making is bigger than the circumstance that you're in. Because it's super easy to, like, get consumed with, oh, I need a deal. I need this. Like, people are breaking into the music industry in the most unorthodox way. And I think that's so cool. Like, yeah. The music industry is like the wild, wild west right now. You can really, anything goes. And so with Wild Horse, like, that was such an amazing introductory to me. And of course it went number one on the Billboard Country chart, which only a handful of females have done. And
amazing.
I'm so thankful to my Warner team at the time. Like, they killed that launch for me. And, you know, and I ended up, like, that was only a home for me for a couple years. And this is another thing that I'm realizing is, just because a label situation didn't work out the way you wanted it to, does not, it has nothing to do with you and it has nothing to do with the label. Sometimes it's just, it's not perfect. It's not right anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to leave and to go somewhere else where it is right. And that doesn't mean that there has to be bad blood, because I just, like, I just feel so blessed. Like, anytime I see anybody from Big Machine or from Warner, like, there's so much love and animosity there. Like, we've been through so much together. Like, I saw Mike Molinar, he's my first publisher. And we were just laughing about how I was upset because I wanted to go to, I'll never forget, I had, like, one of my first radio shows. And I was like, I really want to go to this concert. And he's like, Ray, well, you probably need to get up and, you know, you got to get up early. Like, you don't need to go to a concert now. I was like, but it's this artist. And he was like, no, like, and then I thought back, I'm like, these people, like, practically raised me. Like, I was 18, living by myself, hanging out in their offices. Like, no matter, like, the way it ended, like, the music industry is like a huge family.
And yes.
So now, like, being at Round Here Records with Florida Georgia Line, you know, Tyler and BK, I mean, I've known those guys since I was 18, since I was signed to Big Machine. Like, I will never forget, I was going to come out and sing a song with them. They were playing at, like a tailgate show at the Talladega when they first started with Cruz. And I have, like, a picture of me, like, 18, and they're holding me, and I'm like this, and I have my hair, like, I have a big, you know, flower on the side of my head. And I just think, like, if you would have told me 8 years later that I would be signed to a label with these guys and that I would be making the funnest music I've ever made in my whole life, because I'm living in no box. I'm just, like, creating what's fun and what's me. And I'm not worried about country radio. I'm not worried about any of these things. I'm just creating. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, isn't that what life's about? Like,
that's freeing, isn't it?
And I was like, I would have said you were crazy. I wouldn't have said that was actually the case. And so it's just, I just think it's super cool to honor the path that you've been through and to not see it as a failure, but to see, like, no, I've earned my stripes in this town. Like, I've been through it. I've grown through every situation and I'm still growing and I'm not giving up. Like, I'm never going to stop releasing music. I'm never going to stop touring. I have the best fans ever. And I've created a brand. And that's another thing too. Like, anytime I talk to a new artist, or I'm like, what is your brand? That's what you've got to figure out. What makes your sound different? What makes your songwriting different? Each artist is saying the same thing another artist is saying, but they're saying it in their way. What's your way? And it took me a while to figure that out. And so now that I figured that out, it's just cool because I feel like I want to spread the gospel to every artist. I'm like, listen, you don't worry about making a record. Don't worry about getting a record deal. Don't worry about that. Make the music you want to make. Make it precious and amazing, and then go shop it and find somebody that champions it. That's all you got to do. You don't have to wait to make something great. Because, like, you don't need to go into a label and be like, well, I want to add this and this and this. You need to go in there and show them what they want and show them what they want. Because I feel like that's a lot. Hey, calm down, puppy. My dog's freaking out because my husband's outside. But, like, I feel like a lot of time we always try to explain what we want, but you just need to go do it.
And show people.
And I know it's hard because you're like, well, you need money to create demos and stuff like that. But no, if you find the right team, they'll invest in you and invest the time. And it's just about finding that team.
So what would you say your brand is now?
My brand is, well, if you know me, I grew up in Baytown, which is like, I feel like it's like Dolly Parton with some 808 beats. Like, it's super fun, kind of ghetto, which is totally me. But there's a lot of heart behind my songs. I'm so excited about having a lot of fun songs come out because I just like
bra off. You just put bra off and it's hilarious and fun. And
thank you. I just think that, like, I love to have fun on stage, and I wanted songs that made me dance and have a good time on stage. And so that's kind of what I was writing towards. But my brand is very fun and bubbly, and I would say, like, country girl badass kind of feel, because I am very much a country girl. But it's also, there's a lot of heart behind the lyrics. Like, I don't take the lyrics lightly. Like, I have a couple songs coming out this year that are going to be, like, up there with Love Triangle and, like, depth-wise. And I think that that's so important in what the world needs today. And, like, and that's always me. Like, you can't write a song like Love Triangle and never put a song like that out again. Like,
yeah.
Like, that song went gold without any radio play. And that's because people want to hear songs like that.
That song is one of the most beautifully written songs to describe a child living with divorced parents that I have ever heard in my entire life. I mean, it is a masterpiece.
Thank you. And I just really want more of that. But then also having a good time. Like, I want to show that you can really do both. Like, you know, you shouldn't be afraid to have a good time and put out serious songs, you know? I just couldn't do that in general. That's, like, not my personality either. But so, yeah, this new music is, like, it's so much fun. I just got a mix back from Corey, and I'm so pumped. Corey Crowder, my producer. So it's going to be awesome.
So have you really – it sounds to me like you really have – not only been on a musical journey, but, like, a self journey, and, like, where you are now, just hearing you talk about this, I really feel like you've, like, let go of control.
I really have. If you would have told me that I would be in this predicament 4 years ago, I would say, oh my God, how am I going to get through this? Like, this is so crazy. Like, what, like, but I have the most peace in my life right now than I've ever had ever.
Because you're just trusting God.
I'm trusting God, and I'm happy. I'm married to an incredible human that loves me through anything. If I wanted to go work at McDonald's, he'd be like, you do it, babe. Like, it doesn't matter what I do. And I have the best team around me that are all God-fearing people. Like, I believe that genuinely everything happens for a reason, and trust the path. Trust the tribulations that you go through. Trust the process. And that's one thing that I've, like, been living my life by, is, like, trusting the process of the way that life is happening, because we can only control so much. Like, I love that. It's the best quote, and it's so true. Let go and let God, because we can only control so much, and I'm a control freak.
Oh, but yeah.
As long as you work hard every day and you show up and you do what you do, you can only, like, leave the rest for God to do. And that's when the best stuff genuinely happens.
I feel, Raylan, it's so crazy that you're saying this, because I feel like I am at the same spot in my life. Like, I feel like with my podcast, I've been building this like brand, and it's like turning into live shows if we can ever get back out in the world and perform in front of people, you know, but I don't know where this is going either, but I feel more in my purpose than I ever have in my life. And I feel like God just keeps opening up doors and leading it. And I'm like, literally, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what the next step is. I am trusting that because I'm just going to follow this, that God's going to provide it. And it's kind of like the most excited I've ever been. Like if I forget to stay in touch with God, I have anxiety because it's very scary. But once I'm in the flow with God, and like, that's why I'm with you, like staying in constant prayer is essential when you really are going to live a life led by God. Because if you're not in touch with Him, you're going to fall down a panic hole because it's so scary because you don't know what you're doing. But when you are in touch with God, you just have to listen to what you said. Your, I forgot how you described it, in your gut, that word that you said, like the
intuition,
you have to listen to that. And then I'm
just, your discernment.
Yeah. You have to listen to your discernment that you feel inside of yourself. And I'm literally like, okay, God, I'm going, I don't know what's going to happen. But it's kind of when you live through enough things and you, like you said, when you look back on your life and you see that all the trials and tribulations actually served such a beautiful point, even though it was so scary and a mess and heartbreaking at the time, it does serve a purpose, and it allows you to get to a place of freedom and trust with God if you can like just keep going.
Yep. And I mean, faith is your biggest weapon. I mean, not weapon, but like, yeah, it is. Like, it's your biggest thing that you have that you can always believe in, like always having faith that that God has a bigger plan and a better plan. And I don't know. I think about the time me and you were at Taco Mamacita, like, and just like, and then I think about like who we are today, and I just,
we're both single, drinking margaritas.
Actually, I was drinking margarita. I think I was like 19 at the time. Probably drinking a faux margarita.
I was, or maybe I was.
Yeah, but I ate my Cobb salad that I always eat. No, but I just think about like, just. Do you sometimes feel like you've like a cat with 9 lives? Like, like when I see like old friend groups, I'm like, gosh, like, and also too, like finding your tribe and keeping the right people around you is so important because not everybody has your best interest.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a really big thing too.
I totally agree.
And my 25 years of living.
You know what? You've lived a lot for 25 years, Raylan. I think I agree with you because it is so easy. Every day you wake up and people have a choice to nitpick the shit about somebody or see the positive in them. And we all have stuff that is super annoying that people can pick apart. I mean, I could pick somebody apart all day long if I wanted to, just like somebody can pick me apart all day long. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to be in community and in a team with those kind of people, because that's not going to get anybody elevated. It's not going to get anybody moving forward. It's awesome to have people who can like call you out. And like, if you need to be called out, you need those people, but also it's calling you out in love to better you, not to like,
yes,
just stir shit up.
No. And you're right. And the right people, like, you're right. Like they will call you out in a super loving way, but like, don't keep like yes people around you either. Like, you know, it's about keeping people around you that have your best interests in heart, like you said, but that'll also, when they tell you that you're wrong, they will, you know, you'll listen too.
Like, yes. You know, it's coming from the right place and they need to listen.
Well, crap. It's taken me, gosh, I've lived here for almost 9 years to find my tribe, and I found them, you know? Yeah. But it's definitely been like an up and down thing, but my dogs are like freaking out. They're so cute.
Who's somebody that always tells you the truth?
Josh.
He does?
Oh yeah. Josh, do you always tell me the truth?
I see him creeping.
She goes, I see you creeping. He's putting on gloves for the coronas.
No. What are you putting on?
No, I'm just kidding. I know why he's putting on gloves. He's going to pick up dog shit.
That's a good husband right there.
She said that's a good husband right there. Yes. I would say another person that tells me the truth, that's been a big a big person in my life besides Josh, of course, is I have a really awesome relationship with my manager and my mom. Of course, my mom always tells me the truth. But, like, I'm thinking about somebody that God's put in my life that's changed my life. I would have to say Carrie Hansen, my manager. We have a really special bond and a really special relationship. We've been together now for almost 7 years.
Wow.
And she has been a big voice of reason in my life for a lot of things. And I mean, we're family. And so she always has my best interest in heart. Like, and I think that's why I love having her lead the charge of my career, because of course she's thinking about, you know, everybody wants to make money. Everybody wants to, you know, see this ship rise. But the one thing that she's always thinking about is my heart and my well-being and Josh's well-being. And that means the world to me.
It really does.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy? You've been here 9 years, doing this for 9 years. Like, you are so talented and you've had so much success. You've gone through so many things. But, like, literally, it takes a long time to launch a ship.
It's about to be my damn 10-year town. I'm like.
Mm-hmm. But it takes a long time to build a brand and launch a ship. Like, it really does.
And, you know, too, it's so fun. We're just so hard on ourselves. Like, you know, when I was talking earlier about thinking, oh, people are going to think this about me and think this about me. And then when I actually started hearing what people were saying, that's the last thing that they were saying about me. People were like, no, Ray's so talented. She's one of the most hardworking things. She never cancels a write. She never does this. She just, and that's when I was like, oh yeah, that was the enemy trying to psych me out, because people don't think that about me. I am a good person. Like, you know, like, you can get so in your head about, like, the battlefield of the mind, it is. It's such a mind game. Like, because that's the last thing people were thinking about me. But I thought, like, it's just so crazy how your mind can literally play tricks on you. So.
And that's another thing I like to talk about. Have you noticed your self-talk? Because I didn't even pay attention to self-talk until my friend Michael Chandler, who's a 3-time MMA world champion, he, like, started talking to, like, me about self-talk, and he does a lot of talk about self-talk, and I started paying attention to my self-talk, mm-hmm. and I started realizing, dang, Caroline, you had some pretty bad self-talk.
Like, yeah, you're negative.
Like,
negative.
You are hard on yourself. You do not think you're great. You think people think you're, like, done and
when
not
I think,
cool.
When I think of you, I think of pure sunshine. I think of somebody who has always been consistent with your smile and your energy and your love for life. And, like, I don't know, anytime I see you, I smile, because you just have that aura about you. Like, you genuinely, and that's why you're made for this, because people feel so comfortable talking to you. Like, sometimes I get anxiety about interviews, but I'm like, talking to Caroline, that's going to be the easiest thing ever. You do, like, you were made for this. And I'm so thankful that you trusted your path for this, because it's so we're exactly where you're supposed to be, in my opinion.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I'm trying to view myself in the way that you're saying, like, you know, how you're trying to view yourself, like how people view you, like, cause you're mm-hmm. that same way. You're so fun. You're so bubbly. You're so bright. You're so adventurous. You're so good at, like, going for your unicorn heart sparkle desire. And I think that, like, I love that you do it, because it is so uniquely you when you put stuff out. And I'm like, if you didn't follow your bubbly, bold, bright personality, like, how sad for the rest of us not to get to experience that joy. And it's a journey to get where you need to go. And everything happens along the way. I used to view things as failures, like, oh God, I haven't succeeded enough. Or, like, this is, like, other people are more successful than me. Or, like, I'm just, what am I even doing this for? Is this even worth it? Like, does anyone even care? Like, is my voice even worth being heard? And now I'm like, no, you're following your purpose. You're following your calling. Don't be hard on yourself. Trust God, you know, and put what's in your heart out there.
And every step of the way, even if it sounds a little crazy.
Yeah. And I love
it. Hey, I love Jesus. I love Jesus so much. He's my homeboy, but I do love to party and I love to have a good time and I love to twerk a little bit. So you can do it all. You can do it all.
You're really good at twerking.
I know. I try to like contain it, you know.
So what is your self-talk? What is it now?
My self-talk is I'm a funny bunny. I always say I'm a funny bunny. Josh always laughs at that. Anyways. No, I genuinely my self-talk is, I always want to be a light in the room. I always pray that God puts like an aura around me that gives people peace when they're around me. I want somebody to know that they can be themselves around me and not feel, I just want everybody to feel comfortable. Like, but not in a where I'm going to compromise myself kind of way, but like in a way of like, I want people to like be around me and just feel like, rather than like, you know, which I feel like some people have that. And my self-talk is like, the Lord knows how hard we all work, and like, you can only work as hard as you can, and then you got to let God do the rest. Like, this is the best that we can do right now, right? It's talking on Zoom and being awesome, talking about our lives and putting it out there. And if somebody's sitting on their couch, tired as hell, drinking a margarita, you know, quarantine, hopefully they watch this and feel inspired. Like, we are doing the best that we can actually do right now. And that's kind of like my self-talk is like, always being authentic, trusting my gut, trusting my God, trusting my husband, and praying that every day. And this is another thing I pray every day is like, if there's something that I've scheduled today that you don't want me to do, God, and you want to mess up my plans a little bit, and like, do it. Like, I scheduled out this day, but I want this day to be yours. And I'm learning about that because
I love that.
Like, planned like, oh, I need to work out and go to the gym, blah, blah, blah. I need to, you know, go to the grocery store, you know, go meet this person. But sometimes you've got to literally clear your schedule and just give God room to work, you know? And I think that's another thing that I've tried to really implement in my life is praying. I have a schedule today, but if you want to mess it up and you want me to go help a friend that is sick, has a sick baby, need me to drop some stuff off, like not being so selfish with my time.
Love that. You should write that. It's a song called Mess It Up.
Mess it up.
Yeah. On your Christian album that you do one
day. Don't be selfish.
I love it. Okay. So I'm going to wrap up. I want to ask you a few more questions though. Okay. What does love mean to you?
I love that question. Love to me. Oh my gosh. Means getting through the unthinkable and doing it with grace. Like when I think of love, I think of time, I think of commitment, and I think of it's not always going to be rainbows and butterflies. Like that's one thing that I've loved. Like that I've learned about love is that love is, I always thought love was like an infatuation and blah, 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 but it's not that. It's commitment. It's getting through the hard shit. It's, and it's really about communication and love's not always easy, but love to me is time and commitment. If I had to like sum it up.
I love that.
Thank you. I had to really think about it.
I love that. What is success to you?
Success to me means it's not about money. It's about how you feel and you genuinely being happy. I think we get consumed. Of course, we all want to make money and be able to, you know, have a nice house and nice this and nice that and good things for our kids and all that stuff. But that's not, I've seen some of the most successful people fall with their personal life. And when I see that, it just makes me so sad because success to me looks like having a family that loves the Lord, that is, you know, steadfast in who they are. I want my kids, my future kids to be, you know, able to be themselves, whatever they want to be. If they want to be a painter, they can be a painter. If they want to be a scientist, they can be a scientist, being like, you know, championed in their element. And I think success just means to enjoy life. And of course we all need to, you know, make ends meet and follow our dream, but follow your dream, but don't lose yourself in it. Like biggest thing. Yeah.
That's okay. Break that down just a little bit.
I don't know. I just like, for instance, like when Kate Spade like sold her company for $1 billion and then committed suicide 2 days later. That really bothered me. I was like, this woman literally sold her company for $1 billion and committed suicide 2 days later. Like something that she's probably always wanted to do.
She worked so hard.
Worked so hard for. But genuinely, like, she had some demons that were in her spirit. And, like, obviously there was something in her life that she didn't think that she was worth living for. And I just think that, like, you can't let success break you. Like, if, like, I've been super successful, but I'm so happy right now. I just, like, and where I'm at, of course, I want to do more things. And, but I'm genuinely just so thankful and blessed. And that's one thing is you can't let, like, you can't gain the whole world and lose your soul. Like, you can't do that. And so to me, that's what success means, is like gaining the world, but staying the same person, like, and never thinking that you're too good to go help somebody or give up something.
Yeah.
Like, I think about what if God called me to give up something? What if God told me to do something else in my life? Would I listen? And that's a big question to answer. And I want to always be able to say yes with that.
I love that. I love that. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
You're so wise, Ray. You're so wise.
I'm not that wise. Oh my
yes,
gosh.
You are. You are. You're wise.
I'm nervous.
You've learned from your life. You've lived through a lot of things and you've learned from it. And you have the wisdom to show for it. Like, you're 25, but you're wise. I always wrap up every interview with leave your light. What do you want people to know?
What do I want people to know about me?
Just how, when you hear that question, it's just wide open.
What do I want people to know?
Just what do you want people to know?
I want people to know that whatever you're going through is just right in front of you. And there's so much more that is through this, whatever this fog is. And it's just about focusing on the good in each day. And this is one thing that I want people to know. I have been working on, when I have a negative thought coming to my mind, going straight to, instead of being like, let's say, like, I hear negative thoughts and you're not good enough, you know, the single you're about to release is probably not going to do well. I'm going straight to, I'm thankful that I get to, you know, do this as a job. I'm thankful that I'm, you know, writing the things I want to write. I'm thankful that I'm married to an amazing human. Anytime you have a negative thought, always replying with thankfulness and saying it out loud has been really huge for me. And so that's what I want you to know. Like, if you have a negative thought come in your mind, say something that you're thankful for. And I'm pretty sure you're not going to be that sad about what you were upset about.
I love that. Okay. What do you want people to know about you?
What do people know about me?
Yeah.
I'm blonde. I'm fun. I love Jesus. And I sing country music. And yeah, that's me. I'm just kidding.
I love you, Raylan.
And I have two dogs.
And the most bright, bubbly, sparkly unicorn spirit of anyone I've ever met. Like, you are just a delight to this earth. And I am so thankful to know you.
Well, I'm thankful to know you. And I hope this podcast, or is this a video podcast?
It's a podcast.
Video podcast means something to somebody. So
it will. Okay, don't hang up. Yes. I'm going to end this, but don't hang up.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.